At this time, we'd like to welcome Brother and Sister Long from Zimbabwe. Come a long way to speak the word of the Lord tonight. And let's give them a hand clap of thanks and appreciation. God bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to be with your pastor. I'm really sorry. I would like to be in Alaska right now. But anyway, we enjoyed meeting Brother Nick and Brother Nate. Amen. I'm from Willis, Texas, and I called a pastor, a good friend of mine, Brother Stovall, up in February, and I asked him for a name of a good plumber, and he told me Brother Love. And so I talked to a Brother Love back in February, and I found out there's some connection here. Amen. Also, we're good friends with Brother Perry. Amen. You may be seated. And actually met him in Africa, and there's people here that are related to Brother Perry. Who's that? That's related? Amen. So thank God for the connections. Amen. In Ohio. This is our first service in Ohio. Amen. Missionaries, usually we talk about what God is doing overseas, but what I've seen in February is just incredible. Since February, since we started deputizing, in our first service, we had talked about a miracle we saw many years ago in a country called Vanuatu. We were missionaries in the South Pacific for 14 years, and we had saw a little girl. She was born without eardrums, and so this man came up from Giddings, Texas, and he said, you know, Brother Long, if God could create an eardrum for that little girl, then God can touch my back. He said, my lower two discs have disintegrated. There's nothing to build upon, and I just believe God's going to heal me. So I prayed just like we just prayed. Amen. Just like we just prayed. We get our oil out and we have faith and we believe God. But this man said he grew an inch. He actually went out to eat with my wife and I afterwards. And the pastor, his wife was explaining that he doesn't do that anymore. He can't sit in cafeteria chairs for that long. He went to the doctor to have it verified. So the next week we were in Conroe, Texas. And I talked about the little deaf girl and the man in Giddings, Texas. And the pastor's wife, we didn't get any further than that. The pastor's wife came running up. She believed God was going to heal her. She's in her early 50s. The doctor said she's going blind. She has a degenerate eye disease. She's getting shots behind her eye. She has bleeding behind both of her eyes. She has to wear sunglasses when she goes out in the sun. Just horrible. See spots. We prayed. She went to the doctor Monday to get her second shot behind her eye, and the doctor says, something's different here. It's not bleeding. Why don't we wait a little while? After she's visited three doctors, she now says she has better vision than what she had before this degenerate eye disease. So the next week, we were in Conroe, Texas, and in Houston, Texas. There was a lady there. She was scheduled for cataract surgery. You know, when you have cataracts, you've got this mess of reddish-brown mess of veins in your eyes. Her color of her eyes actually changed. We called her the next week, and she said she's been seeing better every day. I could talk about miracles, you know, from each state to each month, from each service. Last Sunday, a lady said she felt like she was in a chiropractor office. Her back popped about three times. She was kind of giddy because there was no pain. What was the other miracle Sunday, Lisa? Oh, another lady, the throat. She has esophagus problems and throat problems. When she eats, she has a lot of discomfort. She went to eat afterwards and ate pizza afterwards, and she said she had no problems. Amen. We're seeing this every single service. Amen. And so when we go to our next service, which is Brother Robert's church, I would like to tell them about what God did here tonight. Amen. So I'm believing God's going to do something. Amen. In fact, why don't we just pray? What you said, there's a young man that wanted to be here, or that's your son. How old is he? And what's the situation? Renal failure. Okay, I was in a place, not that bad, but I was in a hospital in Johannesburg. And after 8 days, they said I was septic, and they came in, and I said, you're a new doctor. Who are you? And he said, oh, I'm the life support doctor. And they were talking about putting me on a dialysis machine. Is he on a dialysis machine? That scared me, but I was so weak, it was hard for me to pray. Amen. But The next day, my wife said she got a hold of God. The next day, amen, they had my next surgery, and I was all right. So God can change things. So let's just all stand and put it. I'd like to get a good, if God can heal in the house, amen, I believe God can go. How far away is he? Not too far from here. Is that too hard from God? Amen. Let's just believe God. What's his name again? Anthony. Let's pray for Anthony right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of the Word of God, Lord, we're claiming healing for Anthony, God. Lord, I'm asking you, Jesus, right now, at this moment, at this minute, at this time. Amen. Not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, Lord. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd given my testimony at a large church in Florida, and there was a lady, she was in a wheelchair. She's been in that wheelchair for 8 years. She had a stroke. Her left eye has been shut for 8 years. She couldn't get out of the wheelchair because she lost the part of her brain that has to do with equilibrium was messed up because of the stroke. But I watched a lady said, my eye is opening, my eye is opening, and get out of a wheelchair and walk around. Amen. This is the God. I might not be able to get to my missionary. Can I do that a little bit later? You know, thank you, Jesus. When we were deputizing 6-7 years ago, we were worried about the young people of the United Pentecostal Church. It just seemed like, I called them vamps, kind of like vamp. They were sucking the life out of the services. Their minds weren't on God, amen. Their minds weren't on holiness. Their minds, amen, were drifting. And I believe our church was in a state where we were majoring in minors, and something happened. You know, right now for young people, amen, I remember those rebellious years. But right now, our world in America, North America, is so wicked and so bad for young people to rebel. They have to find righteousness. Amen. So I've seen a great change in our young people, in our youth NAYC group, or whatever they call the meetings. It went from 5,000 to 35,000 last year. They're getting a building that'll seat 48,000 because our young people are saying, God, don't pass me by. When you live... when you live in Zimbabwe with over 80% unemployment, and a few years ago we had raised some food for some of the villages because they were literally starving to death. 1 million people were starving because of the drought there. It's just horrible situations. We just got some pictures. In fact, I'll show them in a minute. I put them in my little slide. But there's a man that's taking our place right now, a couple, and they had gone to a village, and they handed him a plate of food. And you see in the first picture, he's looking... puzzled look on his face. And then it zooms in on the mice, amen, that they were serving him because that's all they had to eat. Amen. When you're in that kind of situation, you say, God, don't pass me by. Well, there is such, amen, an unholy spirit in America that people are starting to say they're starved spiritually, and they're saying, God, don't pass me by. Amen. And I believe it's Isaiah 62:6, it talks about a watchman of the wall, and the watchman is looking out, reminding God of the promises. Amen. There's been promises, amen, that God's made to the church in North America, but the Spirit, amen, or he wasn't able to, like Daniel, it's been a time, but I think God has turned his face toward the North America church. Last time in our deputation, my wife told me not to get too fast. Amen. Last time in our deputation, we saw 200 receive the Holy Ghost and 5 major miracles. This time in deputation, we've seen 200 miracles, amen, in just a 7-month period of time, amen. It's not because there's a missionary here. It's because God has turned his attention back to our church, amen. And people are looking, amen. My. We were in a service in Arkansas. I'm sorry, it was Mississippi. And there was a lady, she came up, she was about my age, she was in a pantsuit, had short hair, so I didn't know exactly. She came with her cane, she walked up, you know, with her cane and came up, and I had been praying with other people, the altars were full, and I came to her, and I didn't realize the situation. I thought she came up for a miracle, but she was just speaking in tongues. Found out that was her mama next to her that had been praying for her backslidden daughter for 40 years, and this is the first time that she had been in church in 40 years, and so the family was kind of static. So I went and I said, honey, why don't you just give me that cane? Let's see what God will do. And she looked at me and she said, I will not. I can't walk without this cane. I mean, she said it with attitude. Then she started looking around, handed me that cane, and walked without any kind of a limp back forth. Didn't even take the cane with her when she left the church. Amen. That's the God that's in the house. We'll do our presentation at the last. Let's go ahead and go into the Word of God. If you'll give me a few minutes. Amen. We're going to be reading out of Revelation 12. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 12. Verse 11. Sorry, I'm not ready yet. Let me get my notes. Amen. Yeah, the scripture, Revelation 12, verse 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who do they overcome? Who do they overcome? They overcame him. Who are they talking about? The devil. Everybody say, I hate the devil. No, let's do it like we mean it. I hate the devil. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen. Let me tell you something. I thank God for the blood, but everybody has a testimony. We need to tell our story. If we'll go on down to Psalms 32 and 8. Psalms 32 and 8. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. I believe God, I'm going to put these two thoughts together. I believe God leads us to tell our story. He guides us to tell our story. Amen. I'm going to give some examples to help kind of verify what I'm trying to say. I went to a church in Houston, Texas when I was almost 23 years old. I wasn't grown up, didn't grow up in Pentecost, and it was a large church, about 800 people. They had a great man of God, Brother CLDs. Now, my pastor was a self-made man. When he was young, his father was an alcoholic and left home, so he had to quit high school to help his mama, and he worked at an early age. Didn't get to finish high school, but later on, when he passed, he had 2 doctorate degrees. Just a very versed man in the scripture. He wasn't a hunter. He wasn't a fisherman. He wasn't a mechanic. He liked studying the Word of God. So he had gone to the International Airport in Houston, Texas, dropped off a evangelist, and when he got back to his car, he had a Lincoln. He put the key in, and nothing happened. I think everybody's been there at least once. He didn't call the mechanic. He got out of his car, began to walk around the parking lot for about 35 minutes. He found a man, witnessed to him, got back in his car, started it, and drove home. He realized that God allows circumstances and situations to come in our life so that we could tell our story. Let me go a little bit further. We were in Connecticut. We had preached in a church here, and a pastor 200 miles away wanted to have lunch. He didn't have time to have a service with the missionary, so he wanted to bless the missionary and invited us for lunch. So this pastor arranged for us to meet in this city in the middle, 100 miles. So he drove 100, we drove 100. We went to a good Chinese food restaurant, had ordered our food, was talking about bus ministry. At the table next to us was a very distinguished-looking black man in his early 50s. He came to our table, and this is what he said. He asked if we were pastors or ministers. He overheard us. He said, "I have a question. Do you mind if I pull up a chair?" So he pulled up a chair to our table, and he began to tell us his story. He said that, "I grew up in a Catholic church, faithful all my life. When I was 22 years old, I married a Presbyterian woman, and I've been faithful to that church all this time." He said, "I've always paid my tithes, given in the offering, tried to live for God. I pray every day, but God has never spoken to me." So we begin to share with him some scriptures in the book of Acts. Amen. Went to Matthew 28:19, went to Romans, just different verses about baptism in Jesus' name, and we told him, "Your next step is you need to be baptized." So he said, "Can I do it now?" We didn't even get to finish our dinner. We called the pastor in that city. He wasn't there, but there were some people practicing music. We went inside that church. He drove a brand new Cadillac Escalade. Let me tell you something. You pay your tithes and offering, God bless you. When he came up out of that water, he was speaking in tongues. For the very first time. The next week he went to that church and brought his son in their family and his family. His son got baptized in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something. Every part of that story kind of reiterates what I'm trying to say. What if we ate Mexican food? What if we went to this city? What if we went to that city? God led us and guided us. Amen. To right next. What if we sat on that side of the restaurant? No, we were right next to somebody. Amen. We got to tell our story. It don't matter where you're from or who you are. We've got to tell our story. I was a bartender when I received the Holy Ghost. Had been in jail 5 times. Now, I never did anything bad except the time I robbed a drugstore, or maybe the time I assaulted a police officer. The other 3 times was just public intoxication and fighting. I needed God. And somebody witnessed to me, shared with me some scriptures in Acts 1 and 8. Amen. I thought if I could get a hold of this, I could overcome the cocaine habit I had. I used to wear a little vial around my neck full of cocaine and used to shoot up cocaine. And you know, I made good money, but money don't make you happy. I seen everything. Done everything, didn't care anymore. We were in a church in Arkansas, and I was giving my testimony, but I went a little different route. I don't always share this part, but at the age of 22, I'd been to a psychiatrist talking about suicide. Depression, that's a deep place. It's a dark place. And I began to spend a little time talking about that place that I was in. In the church was a 22-year-old man. It was his first time to come. 2 weeks prior, he was in the hospital. He had drank some poison, and he was in a coma. The youth pastor, is the youth pastor here? Who's your youth pastor? Are you the youth pastor? The youth pastor went down to the hospital to pray for one of his saints, and a mama got a hold of him and said, "Come pray for my boy." When he went in the room and laid hands on him, the boy opened his eyes. Amen. So that day, he was there sitting in the back with his mama and his sister. After my testimony, he came down to the altar and he lifted up his hands and began to speak in tongues. Amen. Now, his sister was 19 years old. She had short crop, dyed black hair, black mascara, black lipstick, black lace-up boots. Jewelry in all kinds of places. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She'd already been to the hospital twice, cutting her wrist. First time to be in a Pentecostal church. But when she saw the joy on her brother's face, I watched that black mascara, you know, when you cry and you got the just black just running down her face. And she lifted up her hands, and a few minutes later, she was speaking in tongues. We've got to tell our story. Amen. Now, when I first got in the church, the first time I came to a United Pentecostal church, I wore my best clothes. I had a white denim suit outlined in brown leather. I had a silk shirt on. I was already religious. I had a little choker with a cross on it. I had hair back then, long curly hair, and a little Bob Dylan beard. And I had on my white and brown patent leather platform heels, the disco days. The girls were scared of me. The girls wouldn't talk to me. My pastor, when I told him I had a call to the mission field, he said, "That's real good, Brother Long. We're proud." They told me I wasn't called to preach. I was in that church 9.5 years, never preached. But that didn't stop me from knocking a door. It didn't stop me from giving a Bible study. It didn't stop me from witnessing on my job. Amen. They wouldn't let me preach in a Pentecostal church, but after a while, they gave me Wallyville Nursing Home. I think that's where they put the worst patients of Houston, Texas. First time I preached, I was so nervous. My knees was knocking. My voice was squawking. And I remember looking over the crowd, and I saw puddles on the floor, yellow puddles. I asked, "How many want to go to heaven?" And they all raised their hand. I asked, "How many want to go to hell?" And they all raised their hands. Wallyville Nursing Home. Y'all have a nursing home ministry? But in a Saturday visitation, we went into a lady's room. She had raw flesh, skin cancer, raw flesh on one side of her face. And Sunday at 2 o'clock service, when we went in, she had brand new baby skin. Another lady had been in a wheelchair for 5 years. But God took her out of that wheelchair. She got so good, she got her own apartment again. And she would come and play the piano for us and dance and shout while she played. Let me tell you something. You might not think the door that God has opened as much, but if God has opened the door, anything can happen. Amen. We're ambassadors. Amen. We're called to be sent out. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We didn't pastor until my wife and I started a church 12 years after I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank God for my wife. She grew up in the church. Amen. We need to hold on to what we have. Praise God. When she married me, she thought she was safe. She didn't want to marry a minister, a pastor. But I didn't go on the mission field until 18 years after I had the Holy Ghost. We went to Botswana for a short period of time where we met the Perrys, and then we went to the country of Vanuatu. When they first asked me to go, I said, "Vanna who?" I never heard of the country. Didn't want to go. Found out that the last known case of cannibalism was 1987. And so we turned it down a couple of times, but they asked us a third time. We thought it was God's will, so we went down there. Started several churches. And, you know, when you're a missionary and after a while you're doing leadership training and you're doing that, we would start a church and give it over to a man and start another church and give it over to a man. And I was just hungry. I wanted to win a soul. Amen. We need to be hungry to win a soul. I wanted to win. I wanted a Bible study. I began to pray. And one of the pastors that we had given a church over to called me up and said, "Brother Long, a man visited us and he wants a Bible study." I was so excited. Now, this man lived in Turtle Bay. Turtle Bay wasn't that far, but the roads were so rough, even in our four-wheel drive Toyota pickup truck, it was hard to get there. It took us over 45 minutes. For the first Bible study, I bought a Coleman lantern to give to the chief of the village because Turtle Bay has no electricity. The building was called the Chief's Knock-a-Mall. It's like the central area of the village. It's a large building. They have bamboo about this thick around that they use for walling about halfway up. That's way it's kind of open-air building, so the mosquitoes have free roam. And it has a dirt floor. It has what they call a Nottingern roof or a thatch roof. In one corner, they have a hole dug out, and that's where they heat up river rocks, put banana leaves on top, and that's where they cook the meals for the functions of the village. And so we brought our Coleman lantern, and I put it up on a nail on a post, and there was over 70 people. I had a Search for Truth chart. 70 people in that first Bible study. That's not counting the chickens, the dog, and the two little piglets that were in that Bible study. At the end of the Bible study, the chief's daughter came to me, and this is what she said. She told me she had a dream 2 weeks prior for me coming. You know how dreams don't make sense? She said in her dream, a river ran down the middle of their village, and a white man came and told her to dive. She said she dove, and she could see something at the bottom of the river, but the current was too strong, and she came up, not retrieving it. And the white man said, dive again. And so she jumped back in the river, and she was able to get an old Bible from the bottom of the river. And God spoke to her and said that he was going to send his spirit through their village. The man in the dream, she said, was me. What if I didn't want a Bible study? What if I didn't want to go that far? What if I couldn't make it? Amen. We got to set our priorities straight. It's not always easy to win people for God. When the chief got the Holy Ghost, he began to call himself the chief of the village of one God. Amen. We sent some of their young people to our Bible school. Our Bible school was actually a literacy school. It's hard to go to Bible school if you can't read or write. And so we would teach young people how to read and write. And a few years later, we'd had that Bible study for several years. And every Thursday night we would come. But it's an island in the South Pacific. And they would have monsoon seasons. And we had missed 2 weeks, too much rain. And that third Thursday, I told my wife, we just can't miss another service. So we took some of our students, put them in the back. I have a tarp in case it started raining, and it did start raining. When it rains so bad, when you get to the cutoff, the main road to their village, it's about 2 more kilometers. But the when it's raining, the road is too muddy there for even my four-wheel drive vehicle. So I would cut through a coconut plantation. We had driven for 45 minutes, and when we got to that cutoff, there was some of the family. The chief's son and his wife and their children and auntie were standing on the road. They were trying to get transport to the hospital, but because of the rain, nobody had come. They were holding a 3-year-old child. The child had malaria, had already had his second seizure that day because of the high fever. And when we got there, the family was wailing and crying. The child was blue, visibly not breathing. We put the family, it's a 4-door, so we put some of the family in the back seat with that dead child, and we put some of the rest of the family in the back of the truck, and we drove back that hour to get to the hospital. While we were going, we were praying. When I got to the hospital and opened up that door, a little 3-year-old child jumped out and said, I'm hungry. No malaria, no fever, no seizures. Now, her dad, the chief's son, had a long dreadlock down the middle of his back. He was known for carousing and alcohol problems. But now, he is the pastor of the village in Turtle Bay. We've got to tell our story. Amen. We've got to tell our story. This watchman of the wall, right now, prophetically, if he was looking out, this is what I believe he would say. He sees that the enemy's in retreat. Doesn't mean the enemy's not coming back. He doesn't know what to do with our revival right now. And so he's just trying to figure out a different way and a different tactic to come against our church. And I believe he's going to come strong. But right now there's a no man's land. That's where our wounded and our offended and our hurt are. And this is the hour that we need to reach them. I believe that. I have no Pentecostal background, but I've seen several members of my family receive the Holy Ghost. I've got a sister that's been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, but she's not living for God. She's drinking again. My nephew, Jay, is 1 day younger than my son. They just turned 39. My nephew made a statement a few weeks ago. He said, he told his mama, I'm not going to make it to the same age as daddy. Because see, Alan, their dad, they found him in a hotel room surrounded by alcohol bottles, he had died of malnutrition. And Jay is a hopeless alcoholic that can't keep a job, has already hurt somebody in a drink and drive an accident, and he's talking about suicide. I talked to him the other day. I believe this so strong that I believe God's going to do something. My sister's been calling me crying. She's trying to take care of him. And I said, you can't take care of him drinking. You got to find God again. We've got to trust God. This is the time. This is the hour. We need to believe that God is. And he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I had somebody call me up a few weeks ago. And they told me, they called me in between service. And this lady said, for 30 years, I've had constant back pain. 30 years. But this is what she said. The last 3 weeks, I have not taken one pain pill. Amen. Not only did God heal her, but he delivered her. When you've been taking pain pills for 30 years, you're more of a drug addict than I ever was. Amen. We have people sitting on our pews that are getting a prescription for a doctor. Amen. When I know a God that can deliver. Amen. We've seen cancers. People are calling us back with different reports. Cancers, all kinds of people said that God has delivered from their pain. We had a lady last month that went to the doctor that Monday to have surgery on her throat. And the doctor said, you don't have to have surgery now. Amen. But, you know, depression and some of the things that attack our mind are just as much or just as important to get a healing from as asthma and some of the other things that are attacking our bodies. We had a man that came up. He's the pastor's father in Indiana. He has sugar diabetes so bad. He's got the nerve damage with it. He can't hardly walk. He can't feel his feet and his toes. Amen. And I've got a picture of him. He's got his shoes off and he's wiggling his toes. Amen. That's the first time he said he's felt them in a long time. I'm talking about a God that can deliver you tonight. I'm talking about a God that can make a difference tonight. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. We had Chester in Mississippi. Chester, he's one of those guys that mama prayed 30 years for him to come to church. 30 years. 7 years ago, Chester came to church. He's cleaning himself up. He doesn't drink or smoke anymore. He had a pair of pressed blue jeans on and his cowboy shirt. And he was up at the altar, and I thought he was there to get a healing because he was 60 when he came to the church, so he's 67 years old now. And I asked Chester, what do you want? Chester's kind of a quiet man, and he kind of whispered, I want the Holy Ghost. 7 years. I got a picture. Chester's praying there. He's related to the pastor. The pastor's sitting there. For an hour, Chester prayed, and I could hear him mumbling. He was real quiet. So I got up, and he wasn't mumbling in English. He was speaking in tongues. And so the next week I gave that testimony. There was a family there, a husband and wife. They had been in church for 15 years. They're bikers. You can still see some of their biker garb. The husband got the Holy Ghost 15 years ago, but Katie hadn't got the Holy Ghost. Been coming to church faithful for 15 years, involved in everything that she can be involved in, but never spoke in tongue. But when I talked about Chester, a few minutes later, Katie lifted up her hands and she began to speak in tongues. And we've seen three other more since then, amen, that have been coming to church faithful that have never received the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't know what you need God to do, but I know a God that can deliver. Amen. I know a God. Amen. We had a pastor's wife. She has chronic headaches as the musicians come. She has chronic, call them cluster headaches. Anybody know what that is? She said that it's a large church. It's a pastor's wife. But she said her headaches are so bad that she has problem with equilibrium, dizziness. Amen. She was dizzy when she came in this service. She was fine when she came off. I have a picture here. of a lady. She broke her arm. In physical therapy, they tore a rotary cuff. And so she had this great big old thing that wraps around here and wraps around there. Amen. But all that's sitting on the seat, and we have a picture of it with her hand lifted up. Amen. A lady, last week, a lady, amen, was lifting up her hands, amen, saying, I didn't do that. She was her first time to come to church, and there she was lifting up her hands, amen. And then she turned around and put her hand in her back. I didn't see the significance of that, but if you're a lady, you understand if you can't put your hand on your back, it's kind of hard for a woman, amen. But she was thanking God. I don't know what you need, but somebody needs to come to this altar. Somebody needs to get a miracle, amen. Somebody needs to get a touch from God, amen. Somebody needs to believe in God. I don't know what you're going through, but somebody needs to come up. Yeah. Amen. Do we have anybody that needs something from God? Amen. I don't know what you're here from, but there's got to be somebody with 70 people that needs a touch from God. We had an 11-year-old girl come up, and she had this mess in her ear. She has severe hearing disabilities, but her father, amen, the little girl's too shy for me to pray for. Amen. When I tried to pray for her, she was like, amen. But the father had her ear, what do you call them, hearing aids in his pocket when they left the church because God had healed her ears. Amen. Amen.